Blog Talk Radio.
Of us a second chance. If you are able to listen this morning, you have been given a second chance. We say hallelujah today, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But God has given us an opportunity for a do-over. Hallelujah. Everybody didn't get a do-over this morning. Everybody. Whoa. Didn't get an opportunity to wake up this morning. So I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be a child of the Most High God, to have been given an opportunity for a do-over, to wake up this morning, to be better today than I was yesterday. Hallelujah. To know that my Father God loves me. Hallelujah. I am loved. You are loved. We are loved. Thank you, Father God, for this day that you have made, Lord. We are rejoicing, knowing that we have been given opportunity by you, Father, for a do-over, to be better today than we were yesterday, to love, to laugh, to live an abundant life filled with your grace, filled with your mercy, filled with your love. Lord God, I pray your increase as I decrease. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are my strength and my redeemer, and I cannot do anything without you. Lord God, I ask you to give me insight and understanding of this mighty word that you have given me responsibility to read and to impart on those that are listening. Lord God, I ask that it touch the heart of who you need it to touch and the spirit of who you need it to revive. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you again for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind. I am grateful to be included as one of your children. Thank you, Father, for being my daddy, for being my Abba Father, for being the blood that beats my heart. I thank you, Lord God, for the Savior, my brother, my friend, the love of my life, Christ Jesus. Who I thank you for his sacrifice for me and for all of us, that we may have opportunity for eternal life. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, again I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I pray that this word touches someone's heart this morning. You know, we have been in some serious lesson today over this course of this last. Leviticus is not a joke. We have been in Leviticus this month, and I tell you, it is a hard lesson. It's not a lovey-touchy-feely lesson. It is a this is what you got to do lesson. This is how you got to live lesson. This is why you have to do what I'm saying do. You know, why you don't disrespect your parents. Want to have a long life. Why you honor our Father God. Why you don't mess around with your children and your daughter-in-law and, oh, come on now. It just, you know, just not being nasty. That's, if nothing else, that's, Leviticus is a don't be nasty word. You know, don't do these things. Honor God. Honor, take care of each other. You know, don't play with God. You know, God is going to, we're going to wrap, you know, as we all know, there is too much idolatry going on right now. Folks will worship a person, willing to die for a person, willing to storm buildings for a person, but won't go to church on Sunday, won't honor God in all that they do, won't treat their brother or their neighbor with kindness because of the color of their skin or their faith or what they believe. I am a Christian. I love Jesus. I'm a believer. I'm a member of the way, the truth, and the life. I know that not one of us is getting to the Father, but except through the Son, who is our brother, because we have, hallelujah. But you're not grafted in if you're hating. You're not grafted in if you're committing idolatry, loving everything but God, loving your car, your dog, your cat, this person, that person, more than you love God. It's idolatry. Loving your money, the root of all evil, more than you love God. The Lord God is speaking this morning through his word. And all we have to do is listen. For this is, as my pastor say, when it's right, it's tight. And this is a right and tight word this morning. This word is a right and tight word this morning. You know, the bottom line is, as I say, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, because this kitchen is hot. I'm telling you, because our Father God don't play. He does not play. He will tell it like it is, and like it is. This word, Moses didn't play. Moses told it, he said it, any minute, and all we got to do is understand that, okay, my brother, you just want to talk about people this morning, but no, he's just telling the truth. The truth is the truth, and it will set you free. You know, nobody's forcing us to read the word, forcing us to study the word. We do it because we love God, and we want to know his precepts. I love him. I love him more than anything. You know, I can't even sing more than anything without getting filled up. Because when I say I love you, Jesus, I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. It's my testimony. Hallelujah. For I know where I've been, and I know where he brought me from. Hallelujah. So let's get into our word this morning. We are in the book of Leviticus, and this is our last two chapters. Wow, I can't believe it, but we have gone through 26 chapters of Leviticus, or 25 chapters of Leviticus, and we're about to finish it up in Leviticus 26 and 27 today. On tomorrow, we will be starting in the book of Numbers. Wow. And understand, Numbers is one of those words that it gets you, it's a count. It tells you who's in what family, and many think it's a boring chapter. But in the Word of God, I have found it's for a reason. And we'll come up and we'll know that reason as we go through the Word. And the Word of God says in Leviticus chapter 26, you shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. In other words, for I am the Lord your God. In other words, you don't make golden statues of anything or anybody, because if you do, it is what? Idolatry. You better get it. It's idolatry. Don't claim you're a Christian. Don't claim you love Jesus. Don't claim you love the Lord with your burning cross and your golden calf statue of people or a person, because God is watching everything and sees everything. We better understand, you don't storm Capitol buildings for people or a person, for it is idolatry. And the Word of God says, you shall not make idols for yourself, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourself, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. In other words, you don't need to be preaching politics from the pulpit. That's not godly, and it's not of God. When you put again, you preach more about a man or a woman or a person, place, or thing more than you do God, it is not honoring God's sanctuary. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Hallelujah. I want to be in that number where he is walking among me, because I am one of his people. Lord, thank you for grafting me into your vine to be one of your people. And it goes on to tell us in verse 13, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall not be their slaves. I have broken the band of your yoke and made you walk upright. We better understand who we are and who we belong to. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, waste and disease and fever, which shall consume the eye and cause sorrow of the heart. Can we say COVID-19? Yo, can we say it? Can we say the coronavirus? Come on. You better call it like it is. Ooh. What did he say? Even appoint terror over you. This is on the rise. Folks killing each other. Hate. Children locked in cages. Senior citizens being attacked. People being killed in the streets by those that have been sworn to serve and protect. Come on. We better understand. I will even appoint terror over you, waste and disease, fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. We better understand. We got to turn this thing around and start loving each other as we love God. We got to love God because God is who created us, who knitted us in our mother's womb, who is the author and the finisher of everything. We got to love God more than we love ourselves. We got to worship our Father God in holiness. Hallelujah. For we are sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as we go forth, it says in verse 18 of chapter 26 of the book of Leviticus, and after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. If you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins, and I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you. And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. We're talking cannibalism here, folks. This is some stuff going on. We better understand that things happened. This happened in Israel, where folks were killing and eating their children. There's a story, and I cannot remember in which scripture, but it's a story of two women coming. They were under siege. Jerusalem was under siege, and they came to one of the prophets, and I believe it was Jeremiah. And it might be in the book of Jeremiah. Don't quote me, though, because I can't remember, because I read a lot of words. But it says that they were arguing because one woman said, well, we said that we would share children, that if I kill my son, then we would eat my son and then we would eat her son. Come on, folks. Sacrificing and eating the flesh of their sons. But she hid her son and we ate my son. Come on. You know, We're talking some serious stuff that happened to the children of Israel. Why? Because they were hard-headed. Why? Because they did not follow the dictates of the Father. Because they started following after other gods. They started becoming idolatrous. And they were sacrificing their children to Moloch. Everything that God said don't do, when they come into the land, they did it. Everything that God gives you, he will give you both. He will give you everything you desire, but he will also give you a curse. If you don't, you cannot serve two masters. Thank you, Lord. And as we continue, it says in verse 30, I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless form of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. And the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbath when you dwelt in it. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. Of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as it were before a sword when no one pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' land. Also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. But, there's a but in there for God. Always gives us an out. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and are into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humble and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbath while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despised my judgment and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. What a word. Leviticus 26 and 12, life lessons. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. God's greatest desire since the beginning of creation is to be with us, his people, and to bless us. God not only desires to be in the closest, most intimate relationship possible with his people, but he has provided everything necessary for the relationship through Christ. Hallelujah. And for those that are just joining, moving forward in this experience that we are going through the Word of God, We are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and we are coming out of the New King James Version, which if you are my King James readers, you should be able to follow this word with New King James, which is why I use New King James, because it's as close to King James as I can get. Because I'm sorry, y'all. I grew up with King James. But I like New King James because it's a little bit more modern. And the thems, the thous, and the shouts, and all those shouts, and this and that are not there. It's them, they shall not. It's made a little bit plainer for everyday folks to understand, including myself. So let's get into chapter 27, our last chapter of the book of Leviticus. We will, after today, have been through what? Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. We're getting ready to enter a new book of the law in Numbers starting tomorrow, as we say every day, God willing. And let's go to our next word, which is 27 of the book of Leviticus. I'm all giddy, y'all. I'm giddy for Jesus, but I love the word of God. And this is what it says. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by vow certain persons to the Lord according to your evaluation, if your evaluation is of a male from 20 years old to 60 years old, then your evaluation shall be 50 shekels of silver, or according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If it is a female, then your evaluation shall be 30 shekels. And if from 5 years old up to 20 years old, then your evaluation for a male shall be 20 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. And if from a month old up to 5 years old, then your evaluation for a male shall be 5 shekels of silver, and for a female, your evaluation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is a female, then your evaluation shall be 15 shekels, and for your female, 10 shekels, for your male, 15 shekels, and for your female, 5 shekels. But if he is too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall set a value for him according to the ability of him who vowed, and the priest shall value him. If it is an animal that men may bring as an offering to the Lord, all that anyone gives to the Lord shall be holy. He shall not substitute it or exchange it, good for bad or bad for good. And if he is at all exchanges animal for animal, then both it and the one exchange, for it shall be holy. If it is an unclean animal, which they do not offer as a sacrifice to the Lord, then he shall present the animal before the priest. And the priest shall set a value for it, whether it is good or bad, or as you, the priest, value it, so it shall be. But if he wants at all to redeem it, then he must add 1/5 to your valuation. And when a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall set a value for it, good or bad. As the priest values it, so it shall stand. If he who dedicated it wants to redeem his house, then he must add 1/5 of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall be his. If a man dedicates to the Lord part of a field of his possession, then your valuation shall be according to the seed for it. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he dedicates his field from the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation, it shall stand. But if he dedicates his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon to him the money due according to the years that remain till the year of Jubilee, which is like 49 years. and it shall be dedicated from your evaluation. And if he who dedicates the field ever wishes to redeem it, then he must add one-fifth of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall belong to him. But if he does not want to redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. But the field, when it is released in the Jubilee, shall be holy to the Lord as a devoted field. It shall be the possession of the priest. And if a man dedicates to the Lord the field which he has brought, which is not the field of his possession, then the priest shall reckon to him the worth of your evaluation up to the year of Jubilee. And he shall give your evaluation on that day as a holy offering to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was brought, to the one who owned the land as a possession. And all your valuations shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs to the shekel. But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate, whether it is an ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it is an unclean animal, then he shall redeem it according to your valuation, and shall add one-fifth to it. Or if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Nevertheless, no devoted offering that a man may devote to the Lord of all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord. No one under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Again, a tenth belongs to God of whatever we got. A tenth belongs to God. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. I'm telling y'all, we got a word this morning. It is a great word. A really good word. And that, sir, ma'am, and everyone, is the end of Leviticus. But we are going to go and do a what the Bible says. And we're going to talk about tithing and giving. As I just said in the word, and we're going to go back and read that one more time. And it says to us in verse number 32 of Leviticus, and concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. That's what it says. That's in Leviticus. That's a law. That's one of the laws of Moses, that a tenth of whatever it is goes to God. This is what it says. God has set forth very specific directives about what he expects us to give back to him. Malachi 3, 8 through 12. We read it pretty frequently in our church. Clearly teaches that we are to give him a tithe, which is 10%. The word tithe is based on the number 10 in Hebrews. Offerings were gifts, often of material goods, given above and beyond the tithe. People normally made offerings for specific reasons, to meet a specific needs, for example, or thanksgiving for a special blessing. The children of Israel gave such a generous offering at the time they built the tabernacle that Moses actually had to tell them to stop giving. 35:4-36:7, which we read. The tithe is given to God from our increase and for our increase. It is the way we open the door of our finances to give and then to receive God's blessing. When we give the first tenth of our earnings back to God, we return to Him what was His in the first place and what He asked us to give to Him so that He might give us even more. The Lord is very specific in the way we are to give our tithes and offerings. First, we are to bring them into His storehouse. Generally, that means His tabernacle or temple in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. We are to give our tithes wherever we regularly worship the Lord, not to a mere charitable work, but to a work that bears the Lord's name. Second, we are to make our gifts on a regular basis. Paul advises Corinthians, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, store it up, as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. We are to make our gifts joyfully. People who give grudgingly solely from a sense of duty do not truly open up their lives to God's prosperity. The joy in our hearts about giving is a direct expression of our trust in God to meet our needs. And I can tell you this, He does. He meets every need. Whatever you need, God will open a door for you to be able to do what you need to do, to pay your tithes, to pay your mortgages, to pay your rent, to pay your car payments, to pay that enormous light and gas bill. God opens doors and makes a way out of no way for everything, every bill to be paid. I don't know how He does it, but He does. You have. That's just how God works. Psalms 29, 1 through 6. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that's the title of our lesson today. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And as we finish Leviticus, that's all God is asking. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. And I love this life lesson from our title. And it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We worship our Father God because He loves us and we love Him. I am just so grateful to be a child of God. I am humbled beyond measure to be a child of God, to know that my Father God is working for my good all the time and that He loves me. He loves me and He loved me enough to give His Son's life for mine, that I might have the keys to eternal life. What a mighty God we serve. I am thankful every day that the Lord loves me like that, that He loves us like that. We are blessed, blessed, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when we come and when we go. Hallelujah. The Lord has broken the strongholds that hold us back. Why? Because we are loved. Why? Because we are His. And He loves us. I am just grateful today. I am so grateful and I'm so thankful today to be loved by God. To be loved by God. And this is what the Word says. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We shall never, we shall never think of God's holiness as cold or cruel. although God's holiness sets him apart as the only one worthy of our worship, it should never drive us away from him. Rather, God's holiness is our guarantee that God will always act in a loving, trustworthy, and honorable way toward us. God is not the author of confusion. That is all man. The Lord loves us and keeps us and wants us to be better than we were yesterday. He wants us to know that we are special to him, that he cares about us, that he fathers love their children, or at least they're supposed to. We know our Father God loves us more than our physical father. But some physical fathers are not nice. They're not good people. We forgive. We let it go. We shake it off. We give them to God and we keep on moving. That's all we can do. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. We say it all the time. We want to stay in our lane, but we know who God is, and we know that he loves him. We love him, and we worship. I said, give unto the Lord the glory. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. One more time. That's a highlightable. Give unto the Lord the glory. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We can't be worshiping people. We worship God. In Proverbs 10:22-25, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Better understand, you following after the wicked, you following after liars and cheats, you following after every Tom, Dick, and Harry that pops his head and says, I'm over here, come on over. Because if you come over here, I guarantee you're going to be rich. Because we're going to talk prosperity. No. You're going in the wrong way. Yes, there are people that are prosperous because that is their great, that is their irrevocable blessing. Nobody can take what God has for you. Because what God has for you is for you, and can't nobody take it. Whatever God has as your blessing is your blessing. But don't let anybody take your soul. Don't let the enemy take your soul, because you've given it away. We cannot give away our soul. Our soul belongs to God. But if you're willing to do anything and everything for people, for places and for things, you have sold your soul. God is watching everything we do. And we are in Mark chapter 7. And it says this, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. But the Pharisees, all the Jews, do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, coppers, vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? You ready for this, y'all? The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses says, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him or do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect, tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And this is the life lesson from Mark chapter 7. This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Beware of Christian leaders who appear to be very religious by their actions, but who are really glorifying themselves rather than God. We should never honor anyone above God. Only he is truly worthy of our praise. My hand is held high in praise because I tell you, there is nothing like our God. There is no one like our God. Honor the Father in holiness. God is in charge. So much praise on people. You know, we give people, we put people on pedestals. And then we forget about God. I have seen more stuff about people than about God. You know, folks call us crazy because, you know, we worship that invisible God because we put our trust in, that invisible God because we love that invisible God. But I tell you what, I'll put my invisible God up against your pedestal God any day. What did he do? Did he, they took the Ark of the Covenant and stuck it in with Dragon, one of their little G idols, and what happened? By the time everything was said and done, the Ark of the Covenant was standing still strong, and that old piece of junk idol had been torn apart. And when they came in the next time, the head was on the floor, bowing down to the Ark of the Covenant. We better understand, don't play with God. And understand that all the folks talking mess, God will show up, show out, and show you who is God. And I tell you one thing, it's not a man. Thank you so much, family. That's all I have today. Tomorrow we will be starting in a new chapter. Yay! We will be starting in the book of Numbers, starting tomorrow. As we always say, God willing, we will be finishing up Mark chapter 7 on tomorrow. Again, God willing, everything we do is always by the will of God. So I thank you this morning for coming in, for joining me as we move forward through the word of God. As always, I thank God for each of you. I lift you up. I ask the Father to watch over you and yours. And as we say every day when we're together, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray again over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are a child of God and that we worship our Father. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I just want to one more time read our Psalms. And it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord swindles the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young wild ox. But I go back to verse number 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And as always, have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that the Lord your God is always with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there till the end of days. Do not walk in fear. Walk in faith, knowing that our Daddy God got you. Stay in your square. Don't let the enemy knock you out into the wilderness or the darkness. Stay on your square and walk in the light. As our word says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. As always, let us pray for each other. Pray for our nation. Pray for our world. Pray for our planet. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap, family. Because why? We're always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. It's a wrap. Time to go to work. Be blessed.